Talking about the hidden life of prayer, looking tonight at the authorization for the prayer of faith. The point being, you cannot pray the prayer of faith without the assurance that God authorized it. Are we just going crazy? Are we just having this make-believe thing where we can just pray whatever we want, or do we have an authority for it? So just a few thoughts here. Number one, our first authorization is the Word of God. Now, God is the one who gives the authority, but our contact to Him is the Word of God. We are not of those who think that we'll eat a certain mushroom and suddenly our mind will be filled with wild thoughts from God. We don't believe we can put ourselves in a yoga trance and commune with deity. It's the Word of God, or perhaps just our imagination. Listen to these. Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment, referring to justice here. A God of truth, without iniquity, just and right is He. So if He's asked us to pray, He was telling the truth. 2 Samuel 7:28. And now, O Lord God, Thou art that God, and Thy words be true. And Thou hast promised this goodness unto Thy servant. Isaiah 65:16. That he who blesseth himself in the earth shall bless himself in the God of truth. Are you going to get ahead in this world? Actually get ahead? Not just the illusion of it? Then you will do so in the God of truth. And he that sweareth in the earth shall swear by the God of truth. Because the former troubles are forgotten, because they are hid from thine eyes. Mine eyes. Romans 3:4. God forbid, yea, let God be true, but every man a liar. What if everybody in the world stands up and says, no, that can't be right? Let God be true, every man a liar, you see. As it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings, and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Titus 1:2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. That particular promise is the new covenant, that plan of salvation that He made. So the promises of God are sure. This is for blessing or judgment. His word is sure. Ezekiel 12:25, for I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged, for in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, saith the Lord God. In this case, as we were looking at Sunday, or on Sundays, he was dealing with judgment. So our first authorization is the Word of God. Now we take the step behind the Word of God, and notice number two, the Word of God depends on the character of God. Daniel prayed for the end of Israel's captivity, based on a twofold authority. One, he understood God's promise of 70 years to Jeremiah. So it was the Word of God, the written Word of God. As Jeremiah had written this out and sent it into a letter, in a letter to the captives in Babylon, that it would be 70 years. Daniel found it much later, and so he based his prayer then on what God had said, and number two, on God's character. Here's what he said, Daniel 9:18. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolations, and the city which is called by thy name, the Hebrew literally, the city whereupon thy name is called. For we do not present, we do not cause to fall our supplications before thee, for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. I'm not saying you should reward us because we've been so good. I am asking you because of your great mercy. And it's for this reason, the very character of God, that the Bible teaches us to pray, for thy name's sake. Name in the Bible refers to the character of the person whose name is involved. When you spoke in the name of the king, it was the king speaking through you, you see. And so what you were saying was supposed to be truly accepted by the king. Psalm 25:11, for thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. Psalm 31:3, for thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. See, it's based on his character. Psalm 79:9, help us, O God of our salvation, for the glory of thy name, and deliver us and purge away our sins for thy name's sake. Psalm 109:21, but do thou for me, O God the Lord, for thy name's sake, because thy mercy is good, deliver thou me. And Psalm 143:11, quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake, quicken, make me alive. For thy name's sake, for thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. The third authorization is our relationship with God is our authority. God is our Father. When you become a Christian, you are born again. Jesus was to say in John chapter 8 to the Pharisees, you are of your father the devil. I mean, these were religious leaders. But he said, you're still under the power of the devil. You think what a father means in a spiritual sense, the one who you're acting like your father, you see. You're of your father, the devil. But this picture of God being our father, once we receive Christ, once we're born again, born into a new family, is found in Matthew 7:11. He says to the men he's talking to, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? You see, when we, as we were singing about friendship, we can be bold to come to the omnipotent God, the Almighty God, because he's our Father. There is that fatherly love we can count on. And then lastly, God's bounty is our authority. It's not like we're going to bankrupt him. God is the source of all our blessing. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. It didn't come out of this sinful world. Might have been preserved through this sinful world by God, but it came from him. And cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Our own sun has variableness, doesn't it? It got eclipsed a while back. But not the Father of lights. Not even a shadow of turning. So we have a fourfold authority to pray, as we saw last time, for whatever we desire if it's in the will of God. If it furthers his goal for us. So the Word of God, the character of God, our relationship with God, and his bounty, his willingness to give us more than we ask or think. When you understand sin is as much against God as darkness is against light, the two can't coexist. It's just impossible. It's not him just being grouchy about it, you know. They're incompatible. And once we get the idea that that's who we are in ourselves, we recognize light should just be banishing darkness. And we're the darkness. But in his mercy, he brings us into his light, purifies us.